It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock, and this is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we are here on this chilly, gloomy Saturday morning, just looking forward to Thanksgiving. You know, just because we're from the north doesn't mean that the weatherman had to make us feel at home just because Thanksgiving's coming up. I found it perfectly acceptable at 75 and sunny, but you never know by then. On the other hand, life could be worse. You could live in Buffalo.
Oh, man. Brutal. Just unbelievable.
I wonder how they got that team out of there so they could go over to the to Detroit and try to play there. Actually, Mama's sitting around, your mom, my wife, sitting around this morning saying, I think Jacksonville's got a bye this week. Why didn't they just use our stadium and make people happy?
Yeah, it would have been a lot nicer.
Wouldn't it, though? You know, it's too little too late now, I guess. Anyway, thanks again to everybody who's always here for us, with the regulars. And if you've just found out about the show, either on purpose or by accident or whatever, try to stick around for the whole hour. We will promise you that you will learn something along the way. Everybody always does. And, of course, Adam and I will do what we do, and we sit around here and talk about all the fun things that we like to talk about. But if you want to change the subject, all you got to do is pick up the phone and dial 904-222-8255, and we will put you on air and talk about whatever it is that's on your mind today. We will, as usual, have a trivia question after the first break, and we've got some super fun topics to discuss today. There's so much going on out there. It's just hard to keep up. So we'll hit a few of the highlights. You know, probably the number one story right now is the crypto debacle. So we'll talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, there's a lot going on with the FTX, SBF. There's a lot of of acronyms in there too. Yeah. A lot more came out about it this week. So I definitely want to touch on that later.
It's just, you know, you get into a spiral, especially people with a lot of wealth and not much time, and some fast-talking kid comes along and he gets one or two people in it, and then they tell, it's just Bernie Madoff Jr. You know, they make it kind of a privilege for you to invest your money, and then they lose it for you.
Well,
it's a common story.
FOMO for a lot of people. It's the fear of missing out.
Exactly.
And you see your wealthy friends are doing it, and you know that they got wealthy by doing smart things with their money, and it's a self-perpetuating cycle.
Yeah, there's an old saying that says, if you're wealthy, keep doing the things that made you wealthy, and if you're broke, change something.
Yep, exactly.
But we'll get to that after the break. So, meanwhile, it was a ho-hum week in the market, which is okay. You need these sort of consolidation periods that I think we're in right now.
Yeah, definitely. We had gotten a little bit overbought on a couple of the indexes, and it was a good week to sort of take pause and see what you think is going to happen next. We didn't see any enthusiastic buying like we did last week. It was pretty calm. The markets drifted slightly lower, very slightly in some cases. There was a record amount of options that expired on Friday, and we still saw decent buying into the close. A lot of times when you see those options expiration Fridays, they can be really volatile and usually negative. That didn't happen. We actually saw a pretty nice day on Friday, and I think that's a decent sign for next week. The yield curve shifted again during the week. The 3-month versus 10-year is now inverted to a point that it's signaling all but a certain recession in the next about 12 months. If we don't go into a recession, it would be the first time since the 1960s that the signal has failed to accurately predict a recession within the following year. Despite that, earnings season has been going surprisingly well, and the economy is holding up better than most people expected. So a lot of conflicting signals, and I think that's sort of been the theme of this year, is conflicting signals. The week ended with the Dow gaining just a couple of 199 points on Friday. It ended within 3 points of where it closed last week. The S&P was a little more volatile, dropping 0.7%. The NASDAQ, as has been the case all year, was the most volatile index, losing 1.6%. Despite those losses, it's been a very good quarter so far, with the Dow up over 17%, the S&P up over 10%, and the NASDAQ up over 5%. Last week, we saw the CPI report come in weaker than expected, which was a positive sign for inflation. And when you're talking about inflation reports, CPI, weaker than expected actually means there was less inflation. So it's kind of counterintuitive. But it was a good report. This week, we saw the producer price index, or PPI, also came in under expectations, giving more evidence to the Fed that their hawkish monetary policy has been working and inflation has already peaked. Core PPI showed that in October, there was barely any inflation at all. And in fact, if you annualize the number, it comes out to a 0.1% reading. That's annualized. So there was basically zero inflation during the month. During 2021, at times, the annualized core PPI was trending at well over 10%. This is almost better news than the CPI report. And the reason is the PPI report shows upstream prices falling. So that means that everything downstream of that, thinking consumer goods and things like that, are likely to come down in price in coming months. When you're seeing the PPI retreat like it has, it's almost inevitable that there'll be some price decreases. Now, that sounds good right now because we're so inflated. It's not something that you want to get into a trend of, but in the short term, it's really good news.
Yeah, and despite that, some of the Fed people are still being a little obstinate, I think. They're throwing around numbers like 7%.
That's absurd.
That's completely absurd. As the opposite when they were taking that tack a year ago that nothing would happen. Don't say dumb stuff.
Yeah, just don't make any predictions. That's not your job. You're terrible at it. Stop doing it. It's bit you in the butt all year. For the last 2 years, it's gotten you in trouble. Stop doing it.
As we say repeatedly, he's already won the prize for worst Fed chairman ever. Stop trying so hard.
One concerning report that came out this week was the New York Fed's quarterly household debt report, which showed that debt was climbing at the fastest rate since the mid-2000s. It's 8.3% year over year. Mortgage debt rose by double digits and makes up 70% of consumer debt. So that's where the bulk of it is coming from. And a lot of that has to do with what we're just talking about with the Fed raising interest rates. Obviously, mortgage payments are going up. And with the price of real estate going up, mortgage debt is going up. So that's definitely concerning. Student loans and auto loans make up another 10% each. The rest of the debt is made up of credit card debt, boat loans, home equity loans, etc. The fastest growing debt right now is credit cards and monthly installment consumer loans, which are rising at 15% year over year. That's a big red flag, too. You don't want to see credit card debt being the fastest growing segment of consumer debt.
Yeah, that means people are living off of them, and that's just not good.
It's not sustainable.
Nope.
Auto loan growth has also been slow, and student loan debt is actually down year over year. For all the talk about student loan debt, you would think that it was the fastest growing segment. It's actually the only one that shrunk.
Yeah.
Despite the growth in credit
cards. And that wasn't because we were giving it away yet, because that's been stopped.
That isn't why, but the payments are still on pause and things like that.
That's
so that has a lot to do with it. Despite the growth in credit card debt, it's still well below pre-pandemic norms. So you're seeing credit card debt grow, but it's coming off a very low base right now. So 15% year over year doesn't concern me. Now, if we do that for another few years, then that will be very concerning.
Yeah, it's got to taper off real soon, I would think. People are still spending down on the money they were given in the pandemic.
Good news is that collections and delinquencies are rising, but they're still very, very low.
Okay. Lots more right after the break. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And lines are open, 904-222-8255, where you could render an answer to a trivia question brought to you, as usual, by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. You can call Ken at 904-636-7888. Well, if you want to talk about some big money, which, of course, we always do, let's talk about the national debt. How much money does the Biden administration add to our national debt every single day? And I'm only going to give you one hint. It's more than $1 billion. How much more? That's your job to find out. All right, wrap up some more market things and a little projection, perhaps?
Yeah, the overall economic data was actually pretty positive this week. It was about two-thirds that beat expectations. In addition to the report I mentioned earlier, the retail sales report came in better than expected. Actually, market took it as bad news because the Fed is trying to slow down consumer spending. That's one of the reasons that we've been seeing such inflation is the crazy demand for certain types of goods and services that we saw post-pandemic.
I got a great way to slow down consumer spending. Just walk into any store and steal everything, like Target.
That is one way to do it.
$400 million last year.
Wow, that's a lot.
That is a lot.
Housing starts and building permits both declined month over month, but it was less than what was expected. Jobless claims came in higher than last week, and they have been rising for about 5 weeks now, but they're still well below the important 250,000 mark that can signal a recession. So not a lot of warning signs in the economic data this week.
Except one.
What's that?
The leading indicators are not looking good.
Okay.
What's that going to mean for sure? I'm not exactly certain. But it's not a good thing when the leading indicators start to really tumble down. So that's something we've got to keep our eye on. Are we in a recession? Have we been in a recession? I know that we were because of the definition. And we're either in one right now or headed to one unless something better happens. I think there'll be some changes in attitude, at least when the new Congress gets settled in and we see what's actually going to happen. Can they stop some of these massive spending programs, keep inflation on the downturn, that sort of thing? We can only hope.
Yeah, I mean, there really isn't much that will be different, except there won't be any reckless new spending.
The major change that they better live up to is they have promised the very first order of business is to cancel the 87,000 new IRS agents.
Well, just defund it, I guess.
Same thing?
Yeah.
So, unless you're going to get everybody to work for free.
Well, the one thing I would like to see is for them to leave maybe 10,000 new agents. And really what I just want is people in a phone bank answering the phone so people could actually talk to the IRS.
If they would fund customer service, I'm all on your side.
Because I just hear so often from clients and peers that you can't reach anyone there. It's impossible. And if you can be on hold for hours at a time and even then not get through. So that is one area that I think we do need to add some IRS agents in.
Yeah, the thing that happens to a lot of people, you wait hours and hours and hours on the line for IRS, and then they'll get in, you ask a question, they'll transfer you. Click.
Yep.
And you are done. Start exactly. over. Go back to go. Do not collect $200 or whatever it is. So we'll see.
Yeah.
You never know. All right. Well, I have several little things. I wanted to sort of reverse the course on something we did last week. Last week we started a series that it won't be predictable how often or how infrequent it is, but about book reports that have a lot to do with your money. And the next one I thought of, I know a lot of people have read and I know a lot of people have not read. So I thought I'd give you a heads up that you might want to pick this up and read it prior to us doing anything about it. But if you've not read Atlas Shrugged, I think you should. There's so much about what's going on today that was reflected in that little, by the way, it's long, that novel, which was written in the 50s, and you will be absolutely amazed how pertinent it is. So one of these days we'll be ready to talk about it, and it'll be probably at least well into December by the time that happens. But we'll see. So if you want to play the home game, you can join us. All right, what else is going on? Well, in my little world around here, you know, I've been trying to keep up on the Secure 2.0 Act, and it is still there, and Congress is back now where they can start negotiating. So in order to do what Congress does best, which is mess around with a good thing, they have now decided that they're going to try to merge something new into it when basically, all they had to do was sit down for an hour or two between the Senate bill and the House bill and just negotiate a little merger into it. But now it looks like we want to do some tax cutting. And this is all brought to you by the stupidity of our tax law, where things continually expire. they could just make them permanent, and we wouldn't have this December problem every single year. So I'm still assuming that because of the broad support on both sides, that it's going to pass. I know we have several clients, and then there's me, awaiting an answer as to whether or not the RMD requirement for people born after June 30th, 1949, will be waived again and stepped up into next year or even later. I can't tell you that. I can tell you that if it passes, it will be, but we're trying not to do anything stupid. Once you've taken it, you cannot put it back in.
Nope, there's no untaking it.
Yep. So we are really hopeful that our clients who are in this situation can, I've told them all, we will be notifying them immediately when something happens. All right, so here's the new rub. The Democrats want their child tax credit restored and doubled. Well, their proposal right now goes from $2,000 to $4,000. The cost of that over a 10-year period is $1 trillion.
That's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money. And $1 trillion is a lot of money. And it's going to obviously have to be negotiated. And I didn't like it the way they did it last time. If you remember, there were several months, I think it was at least 6 months, where it was advanced to people. So it was a tax credit against the taxes for the year, but they were getting it back on a monthly basis. So a lot of people got to the year end last year and did their tax returns. And they came in much slower than, or lower than people were expecting, because they'd already been, I guess I'd use the term, pre-baited. Mm-hmm. So they want to do this again to the tune of something like $300 a month for a whole year. And I just say, stop the messy accounting.
That's a terrible idea.
It is an awful idea. Well, what do the Republicans want? They want tax breaks, and we're talking about $100 billion here, tax breaks for private equity firms, manufacturers, and businesses. Well, that sounds like a natural lead-in for the Democrats to point fingers at them and say they're all for the tax.
Yeah, especially the rich. Private equity thing. That's not a good idea.
But they're not even talking about anything that's really relevant to private equity. What they're talking about is restoring things like the excess depreciation, what it's called excess now, the same year depreciation that we have now.
Yeah.
But it's expiring. So here again, why do we have to keep fighting for something we already have, and it's solely so they can use it to point fingers at us? Another one, interest expenses that expired, write-offs that expired in 2021, we want to get those done. A lot of these things are going to impact this year, and we're already at November 19th. Now, wouldn't you like to do people, individuals, corporations, CPAs, et cetera, enough of a favor to let them prepare for year end?
You would think so. And this isn't the type of thing, like, it's not like a IRA deposit that can go till tax day of next year. This is something that if you don't do it by the end of the year, by December 31st, there is actually the largest penalty that exists within the tax code, I believe, is for not taking an RMD. It's 50% of whatever wasn't taken. Yeah. So it's really important to know these rules prior to December. And not to mention, we just got an email from our custodian, TD Ameritrade, saying, please get all requests in by December 2nd for this year, because we're going to be really busy at year end. So that makes me really nervous.
How about we get the law in by December 2nd, then worry about it?
I mean, that would be a good start.
You know what the chances are of that?
These people don't work from here on in. Absolutely zero.
They're going home for Thanksgiving. They won't come back until way after that.
Right.
And then they've got all this housekeeping stuff to do, and they want to talk about merging bills and so on. It's you couldn't design a system as bad.
It's so bad. It really is.
And it's not going to change. But I'm going to remain cautiously optimistic that we will have the opportunity to get 2.0 into law. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
All right. When we come back, we want to talk about SBF a little bit. Sam Bankman-Fried, who has my vote for this week's absolute dumbest person I have ever witnessed.
Oh, yeah, he's up there.
Yeah, and not only that, he's as crooked as the day is long also.
That too.
Yeah. So we're going to give you some of the real intriguing things that he said. You know, it's almost like he's got himself as a client, although he's not a lawyer. But he is certainly a fool. And if I were representing this kid and his mouth kept going off the way it has been, I'd have been gone from there so long ago. It is truly incredible, and you'll want to hear it. So after we pay some bills, we'll be right back and we'll tell you all about it. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And the lines are open, 904-222-8255, where we have this trivia question awaiting anyone who wants to give it a shot. How much money is the Biden administration adding to the U.S. debt, meaning your debt, my debt, our collective debt, every single day? And it's north of $1 billion. That's about the only clue you're going to get for a while. All right, let's talk about stupidity, just because it's all over the place, I guess. A couple of biggies today. Probably the most confounding thing that's going on now doesn't have to do with SBF. It's a lady named Elizabeth Holmes, who some of you know about. She's been found out for quite some time now, but she was a Wall Street whiz kid, came up with supposedly a process of doing full blood tests on basically what was a finger prick instead of taking vials through your veins. Well, heck, who wouldn't love that?
Yeah, and it was supposed to be able to test for just basically the way she sold it, it could test for anything with just a finger prick. It was like revolutionary, life-changing technology.
Yeah, there was just one little problem.
It didn't work.
That was the little problem.
Yeah. She never had the technology. She just sold a dream to a lot of people. And really important, wealthy people bought it. Apparently, she was super charismatic. Mm-hmm. And people just loved her energy and believed everything she said.
You know, back when I was younger, we used to compliment salespeople. I didn't, but a lot of people did. My favorite one was he could sell an icebox to an Eskimo, and that was supposed to be one of the most complimentary things that anybody could say about a salesman. But I always looked at it this way. Well, what if the Eskimo doesn't need the icebox? Then are you doing anybody a favor except you getting the commission? So she was obviously a tremendous salesman. But the bottom line on that old icebox and Eskimo thing is people who were really good at sales have one thing in common. They convinced themselves of the absolute necessity, the absolute value, and the, of course, this is the best thing ever. That's why you have to buy it from me. And they go in and they're so sincere because they believe so much. She was apparently one of those people. And Adam was telling me even more about it than I knew before. She seems to have believed that she could do this and was going to do this. And when it didn't work, it all came tumbling down. So here she is at the age of 38, and she's been on trial for a while, and the sentence came in. The prosecution's trying to get a 20-year prison sentence for her. They wound up, the judge gave her 11 and a quarter years. Now, here's some little details. She's pregnant with her second child, unmarried. She owes $1 million in fines and has been ordered to pay restitution to her investors to the tune of $804 million.
Ouch.
How much money do you think she has realistically?
Pretty positive it's not 804 million or 5 million, I guess, with the other million she owes, but I don't know where that's going to come from.
I wish I'd thought of this, but is there anything left? Her company was called Theranos, T-H-E-R-A-N-O-S.
I think it's completely dissolved.
Yeah, I wouldn't think you could find a stock listing or anything like that.
Oh, no.
So everybody's basically just belly up on it?
I think so.
And I can understand people that have a lot of money and they invest in lots of different things, especially in biotech. Biotech depends on rich people because it's extremely expensive to develop new products and processes. So the rewards are big if you hit.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't hit, you miss. There's no walk in this thing. It's a yes or no thing. So she apparently did not have that much trouble. When she came out of the shoot, she made sure she was in the public eye. And she's real, real friendly to look at. The cameras love her. She's well-dressed and well-spoken and just seemed like she was everything that she was purporting herself to be. And it all went under. And now her life is an absolute shambles. And I couldn't tell you today how much she knew or how much she should have known exactly. But it tells you about crime. Now, let's talk about the opposite kind of character. Sam Bankman-Fried.
Not charismatic.
Not charismatic in any way, shape, or form. I don't think he has an ounce of civility in him. I don't think he has a character bone in his body.
No, clearly not. And some quotes that came out this week would also back that up.
Have at it.
I don't have it in front of me. No, it was something to the tune of morality is a Western concept that I don't believe in.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see. He says, I've got it here somewhere, some of the things that he came up with. He lent billions of dollars in customer funds to his own hedge fund. Corporate funds were used to buy homes and personal items for executives. He approved expenses by emojis. His auditors were living in the metaverse. And most of the digital assets owned by FTX, and if you understand crypto, you know it's a digital asset, have not been secured. So he gave an interview, and here's some of the things he said. This is regarding regulations. SBF admitted his public calls for crypto regulation were, quote, just PR, and that regulators, quote, make everything worse. They don't protect customers at all. And you do? You protect customers? So, yeah, I don't like regulators any more than anybody else, but his complaint about regulators as they make things worse and don't protect their customers, he got a mirror, Sammy. Look in it. All right, on ethics now. He acknowledged that his talk of being ethical was mostly, quote, a front to boost his reputation and suggested that people get harmed by, quote, by this dumb game we woke Westerners play where we all say the right shibboleths and so everybody likes us.
Yeah, that's the quote I was sort of paraphrasing.
Okay. On bankruptcy, SBF told Vox, the people that were doing the interview, that he regrets caving to peer pressure and filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy.
Peer pressure. That's what made it happen, yeah.
If he hadn't, he estimates that 70% of the problem would be fixed.
Mm-hmm.
How? All right, on how he loaned out customer funds and didn't have collateral to cover it. Quote, sometimes life creeps up on you.
Oh, that explains it all.
Well, I say to that that sometimes creeps creep up on you. Again, got a mirror, Sam? Meanwhile, the legal barrage against FTX is just getting started. A potentially massive investor class action was lodged yesterday against SBF and FTX's celebrity boosters. Now, here are the people named in the lawsuit. And you can say whatever you want about any of these people you want, but this stinks. Larry David, not exactly my favorite person in the world. Tom Brady, Naomi Osaka, tennis player, for those of you who don't follow it, 25 years old, very wealthy, and the Golden Gate Warriors.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because regardless of your thoughts on those celebrities, I doubt they had any idea. They were just getting a paycheck to endorse a product like they always do. And I know they're supposed to do their due diligence, but it seemed legit on the surface.
Yeah, and there are people out there, especially on Fox, there are people saying that they're comparing him to Madoff Jr. Some people say it's worse than Madoff. I say it isn't because of the total amount of money involved, but it is kind of the same thing. And they're using the power of other people's celebrity to bring in more money from other people, knowing full well that it was all a big ripoff. And I have absolutely no tolerance for people who conduct themselves that way. And I hope he goes away for a much longer time than Elizabeth Holmes did.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah. All right, we'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we have on the phone, good morning, Mike.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen.
How goes it?
Goes pretty well. I'm a little slightly, despite the win in the House in the midterms, I'm just a little disappointed.
Who isn't? We got built up way, way higher and had to suffer a fall.
This is true. This is true. By the way, if anybody, if they hear on television, on the radio, hear that there's absolutely nothing wrong with our elections and fraud, I really suggest they read a book by John Fund and Hans van Spaskowski. It's called Our Broken Elections. You'd be appalled
about what goes on. I'm familiar with both of them, and they're both excellent people.
They are. They are. Anyhow, not to take up more of your time, I'll take a shot at the trivia.
Sure.
Okay, I'm going to say $2.7 billion a day.
Now, why would you say something like that?
Because Maria Bartiromo, who's a fellow Italian from Brooklyn, New York, she's a patriot. She had something on that recently about mentioning how much money he spends, trillions.
Well, she's exactly right, and so are you.
Oh,
now,
very nice.
Before we put you on hold and get your name, I want to give you a couple of stats about that. That's $8.19 per person per day.
I thought I read something about a figure like 30, for each taxpayer, something like $33,000 it costs each taxpayer.
Well, it depends on your time frame. It's $2,989 a year per person. And over 21 years, I picked that time because from the time you're born, it takes 21 years. If you want to drink away the sadness from this, you'll have already added to your debt $62,776.
Where does this all end, gentlemen?
Nowhere you want to be.
Yeah.
That's the problem. You know, it's been going on for so long. You think back over the last few years. Oh, my God, it's absolutely intolerable. It's over $10 trillion. 12, 16, 20, now we're at, 31, 32? According to modern monetary theory, there's no end ever. You just keep printing money.
Yes, who's that woman that's a great proponent of it?
Elizabeth Warren is
Judy
one.
Judy Shelton, I think.
Yeah, there's quite a few, but yeah. Warren is the one in government who is a big fan.
Oh yeah, and Janet Yellen will support everything about it and just keep cranking it out. There's a lot of people who actually believe this stuff, and let's say it were true that you can just keep printing money forever. What's the money worth? Does it matter if it costs you $6 million to buy a Chevrolet?
I think that's the argument that our adversaries are trying to make. Why should the dollar, the way we spend money, be the currency that we trade our commodities in this world? And I think Big Daddy Xiao Ping over there in China would like to see the renminbi, if I'm not mistaken.
You're absolutely right. And there is already something called an SDR, special drawing rights, that allow people to trade in a basket of currencies that the dollar is part of. So the more things that switch over to that and the more countries trade back and forth with each other, for instance, India and Iran, they'll do business in rupees, reals, whatever, instead of dollars now. And there are a lot of people working toward our demise by making sure the dollar is exactly, as you say, going out of style as the sole reserve currency.
Yeah, I hate to talk doom and gloom, but I just see things dark before I see the light.
Yeah, I know, and we've been doing it so long that we kind of get hardened to it. And everybody who says it's going to absolutely happen this year, you know, put in the name Harry Dent in a search engine, he'll tell you every year for the past 20 years that it's absolutely positively collapsing this year, and then it doesn't.
Well, on a happier note, I wish you and your families a happy Thanksgiving.
Well,
and
thank
keep
you.
Up the great program.
Thank you. Same to you, and I'll put you on hold.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
Good morning, Marshall.
Gentlemen, two items. First, if someone took RMD this year because they got in this little trap that you very well have put in front of folks, couldn't they just do it as qualified charitable deductions?
Nope.
To those people they may be giving something to for the next 3 years, 4 years?
Qualified charitable deductions have to be checks written from your custodian to the charity directly. You can't put your hands on
them.
You
cannot. Yeah, that takes away that special protection.
Yep. I totally understand that. But what I'm saying is, someone who's stuck now saying, hey, I've got to go ahead and apply to get the money.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Go ahead and do it as qualified charitable deduction, maybe for the next few years.
Yeah, there's a lot of that goes on, but a lot of people need that money and aren't necessarily that charitable. But sure, it'll shelter it.
I understand. My other point for you is, I really appreciate you bringing up those two, shall we say, crooks. And I feel certain when they're put into an institution, they'll probably experience some pain. I would hope that a judge would think through an appropriate penalty and requirement of using their skills and talent to benefit those who are much less fortunate, and maybe those people might learn a lesson.
Doubtful.
Because if you had to work in a soup kitchen for a long enough period of time on nothing yourself,
well,
there could be some education that goes in that.
Yeah, that's a wonderful Pollyanna viewpoint. I don't think Elizabeth Holmes might have that much character in her. I honestly believe there's a chance of that. But Sam, no way.
I don't think either of them will.
I don't either.
When you're that big of a narcissist and egomaniac, it's like saying that, oh, maybe Trump will change.
Yeah,
I mean, none of those people are ever going to change.
Yeah, and you heard what Madoff said, didn't you? When he got caught, he said, it's over. That was it. Just, it's over. He knew his life was ended.
I have a feeling that Judge Judy might come up with a plan for
it. We can only hope.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Marshall. Happy Thanksgiving. Yeah, I don't know. I honestly do not know if either of these people has any character or not. There's not enough of it in the world, that's for sure.
It seems unlikely to me.
Mm-hmm. We had some notes about what's happened to 401ks, and I would say there's a moral to this story.
So yeah, if you've opened your 401k statement or your IRA statement recently, if you have a 401k at Fidelity, on average, you would be down 23% from a year ago. Mm-hmm. It actually dropped below six figures for the first time in a while, down to $97,200. That's on 401ks. For IRAs, it's actually a little bit worse, down 25% from a year ago, but still above $100,000 at $101,900. And so not a great look in your retirement savings this year.
No, the good news is things are still on sale.
Yep.
And the even better news is next year you'll be able to contribute more to either of those. So if you're the saving type, start making your plans. You got a couple extra grand for your 401k and an extra, $500 or $1,000 for 500, I think.
For... I think 500, yeah. And also, the good news is, if you haven't looked since the end of last quarter, you might be pleasantly surprised this quarter. We've seen a nice little bump last month.
Mm-hmm. I hope it can be sustainable to the end. All right, here's a little quick note that kind of caught our eye because of where it happened. The coolest high school science class ever, and it's out of Wisconsin. It's known as American Wilderness Science, and it's taught at a high school called Random Lakes in Sheboygan County. Now, if you've ever had a good bratwurst in your mouth, you have been familiar with Sheboygan County, because that's where the really good ones are made. That is a teacher named Natalie Weeks, and Natalie Weeks has decided that whoever wants to take this science class, she's going to treat them to a course in gun safety, and then take them out in the field and show them how to do some hunting safely. Now, I'll tell you, as an old Wisconsin employer, these people are going deer hunting, whether or not they know what they're doing. So I am so happy that she's actually educating some of the people up there how to be a good, safe deer hunter. So she gets my kudos for Teacher of the Year for this year. And maybe somebody else will pick it up. She says she thinks it may be the only one of its kind in Wisconsin. I'm wondering if it's the only one of its kind anywhere in the country.
No, that has to exist in Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia.
We can only hope. All right, well, this has been fun. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Stay safe out there. We'll see you next week. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour, signing off for now.